Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the PION AG conference call on the financial results of the third quarter of 2018, hosted by Dr. Wolfgang Söhngen and Abdelghany Omari. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad and you will be connected to an operator. I'm now handing you over to Ralf Penner to begin today's conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for your kind introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for joining us for PION's earnings call on the financial results of the first nine months of 2018. My name is Ralf Penner. I'm PION's Vice President, Investor Relations, and I'll be moderating today's call. I'm joined by Dr. Wolfgang Söhngen, as well as Abdelghany Omari, our Chief Financial Officer. Within the next half hour, we are going to highlight some of the Q3 achievements, give details on the financial results, highlight the most important events, and provide a pipeline and strategy update and financial outlook. After this initial presentation, we'll be happy to take your questions. I would like to point out that the slides for the presentation can be accessed by webcast in parallel to this conference call. The webcast details have been posted on our website and were also given in today's quarterly statement. If you have not already opened the webcast link, you may want to do so now. This conference call is being recorded and a replay will be available later today and will be posted on our website. Before we get started, I would like to remind you that today's call may include forward-looking statements and that actual results may vary from PION's current anticipations. I would also like to refer to the disclaimer included in the presentation slides. An dieser Stelle möchte ich auch noch einen Hinweis für die deutschsprachigen Teilnehmer geben. Als international operierendes Unternehmen halten wir die Präsentation in englischer Sprache ab. Wir möchten den deutschen Teilnehmern am Ende jedoch auch die Möglichkeit geben, ihre Fragen in deutscher Sprache zu stellen, die wir dann auch in Deutsch beantworten werden. After this initial remark, I believe that we should start right on now with the presentation. Wolfgang, please go ahead.
Well, thank you very much, Ralf. Hello, everybody who's listening in. Let's start with the corporate overview for those who are not familiar with the company. We are a specialty pharma company based in Germany. Our lead compound, remimazolam, is in final stages of clinical development. Actually, we are in filing stage in two territories. We have already eight regional partnerships for this compound. The headcount of the company is averaging around 39 persons right now, split between headquarters in Aachen and the subsidiary in Cambridge. The cash at the end of the third quarter was 19.8 million, and the market capitalization is fluctuating around 150 million euros. We have the typical board structure of supervisory board according to the German law, and the management team and the supervisory board is not in the executive part of the company. On the next slide, you have an overview about the development of the share price. We're listed in the Frankfurt Stock Exchange since 2005, and the liquidity for a biotech company in Germany is quite okay, and I've already mentioned the current market cap. Now, reflecting on remimazolam. Remimazolam has potential in three different indications. In two of them, in general anesthesia and procedural sedation, we are currently preparing NDA filings. For general anesthesia, this is in Japan, and for procedural sedation, this is in the U.S. The third indication, ICU sedation, will have to be taken up again in the future. In general anesthesia, we have recently started a phase III trial in general anesthesia. The events in 2018, I will cover for those events that happened after the half year one report, and this is mainly news on additional results and outcomes from our partners. Hanapharm completed recruitment of a phase 3 trial in general anesthesia, and AFAM yesterday reported together with us that the phase 3 trial that they had completed was successful. No more details have been released on this trial. This is probably because of the fact that this will be presented at an upcoming meeting, and therefore no details of the trial are also included in this presentation. Now let me go back to the molecule, remimazolam. On the next slide, you see what is called overview of the sedation anesthesia continuum. You see that this is spanning from minimal sedation, which is mainly used for anxiolysis, up to general anesthesia. And the current focus is on the procedural sedation in the U.S. and general anesthesia for Japan in filing mode. If you look at where the different indications are, procedural sedation spans more than just colonoscopy and bronchoscopy, which we have performed in the clinical setting. It also includes upper GI and other procedures, and we will come back to that later when we talk about market potential. ICU sedation from the sedation level is, depending on the situation of the patient, close to the level of general anesthesia with respect to sedation, or to the level of moderate sedation, really depending on what level of the patient, the individual patient requires. And the nice thing about remimazolam is that because of the titrability, these different levels of sedations can be achieved by the doctors applying the drug. For those who are not familiar with general anesthesia and sedation, I'd like to remind everybody that anesthesia in many cases exists of three different elements. The one is analgesia, so pain has to be addressed mostly with opioids. The second element is hypnosis, and that's remimazolam or propofol or midazolam. And the third element is paralysis, which is not required in all general surgeries, but in some. And it has to be kept in mind that all these different agents interact with each other. So level of sedation, level of pain relief, level of respiratory depression is always dependent from how these three drugs act together. And therefore, the interaction of these drugs have also been tested in preclinical experiments before we introduce the drug to humans. And of course, there's sometimes a misunderstanding. We assume that always an anesthesiologist will be required to perform general anesthesia with remimazolam. On the next slide, we have summarized what we already received as a feedback when we went to physicians in 2008 with our first market research, and the feedback was that this drug would combine the best of both worlds, meaning that it has the rapid onset and predictable recovery time of propofol and the safety of an benzodiazepine together with the availability of a reversal agent. Downsides of propofol are cardiovascular and respiratory depression, which is specifically important if no anesthesiologist is available and the drug is used by non-anesthesiologists. There's no reversal agent, and patients often report on pain on injection. For midazolam and other benzodiazepines, the downside is variable and prolonged periods of sedation, a resedation risk due to that long half-life and slow onset of actions. And based on the properties that we have seen, we believe that having the best of both worlds is going to be a very attractive value proposition for patients, physicians, and also the healthcare systems. Before I go further into remimazolam, I would like to hand over to Abdel to report on the financials of Q4.
Thank you, Wolfgang. Good afternoon, everyone.
ladies and gentlemen. Now I would like to guide you through the financial key figures for the first 9 months of this year, compared with the prior year period, and also give an outlook for the full year. Let me start with the selected items of the P&L. Revenues amounted to 0.8 million euros and mainly related to the upfront payment of 1 million euros received from Mundipharma in January this year in course of the license agreement for Japan. Revenues of 5.1 million euros in the prior year period mainly resulted from the US license agreement with Cosmo. On the upper right-hand side, you can see that research and development expenses decreased from 13.5 million euros in the first 9 months of 2017 to 9.1 million euros in the first 9 months of this year. The R&D expenses mainly related to the European phase 3 study in general anesthesia that we have started in July this year, the validation of commercial scale production, and preparatory activities for filing of remimazolam. The decrease compared to the prior year period mainly results from lower costs for phase 3 and phase 1 studies. Compared to the first 9 months of 2017, general administrative and selling expenses decreased by 0.2 million euros to 2.6 million euros in the first 9 months of this year. In total, a net loss of 8.8 million euros was incurred, compared to a net loss of 8.5 million euros in the prior year period. The net loss includes income from tax credits on parts of the research and development expenses in the amount of 2.1 million euros. Now I would like to move to the selected balance sheet items and an overview of headcount. Total assets decreased by 6.1 million euros compared to the end of 2017. This mainly results from a reduction of cash and cash equivalents. As you can see on the upper right-hand side, cash decreased by 5 million euros compared to end of 2017 and amounted to 19.8 million euros as of end of September 2018. This reduction mainly comes from negative cash flows from operating activities in the amount of 10.2 million euros on the one hand and positive cash flows from financing activities amounting to 5.2 million euros on the other hand. Equity decreased by 3.3 million euros to 21.9 million euros, mainly as a result from the net loss and the net proceeds of the capital increase that we conducted in June this year. The equity ratio was 85% as of end of September 2018. The staff development is illustrated on the lower right-hand side. Compared to an average number of 33 employees in 2017, we had staff of 39 employees on average in the first 9 months of this year. Finally, I would like to give an outlook for full year 2018. For the purpose of comparison, you can see the actual figures for financial year 2017 in the left column. For the rest of this year, our focus remains on completing the regulatory activities for the US and Japan and continuing the European phase 3 trial in general anesthesia. We also expect to complete the work on the validation of commercial scale production of remimazolam. Regarding revenues, we expect these to amount to approximately 3 million euros. This is mainly in connection with the regulatory filing in Japan and the license agreement with Mundipharma. Should the regulatory filing in the U.S. still happen this year, revenues would increase by 7.5 million euros. We expect R&D expenses to be in a range of about 12 to 14 million euros. This is less than the range of 15 to 17 million euros we have guided earlier this year, because some of the expenses initially planned for 2018 will only be incurred in 2019 based on current planning. SG&A costs will be comparable to 2017 and amount to about 3.5 to 4 million euros. Based on the estimate for the R&D expenses, we expect tax income from R&D tax credits in the amount of approximately 2.5 million euros. This is also less than the 3 million euros we have guided earlier in the year due to the reduced estimate for R&D expenses.
In total, this leads to an expected net loss in the amount of approximately 10 to 12.5 million euros as compared to our initial guidance of 12.5 to 15 million euros. Regarding our liquidity, cash and cash equivalents, including expected potential milestone payments and expected tax credits, secure a cash reach until beginning of 2020 based on current planning. Until filing for market approval in Europe, further funds of about 10 million euros will be required based on current planning. This funding requirement may also partly come from potential future milestone payments from existing license agreements. Thank you so far. Now I hand back to you, Wolfgang.
Thank you very much, Axel. Now I'd like to continue with remimazolam. For those who are not familiar with the compound, I'd like to have a quick run through the highlights of how we position the drug and how it is being regarded and what's required currently in the sedation anesthesia space. Of course, it's clear that in sedation anesthesia, the most important aspect is improving overall safety. That means avoiding of hypotension, the availability of a reversal agent, and overall improved hemodynamic stability, which then would lead to less requirement for vasopressors and hopefully also better outcome for patients. And this is specifically important because we are faced, and all developed countries are faced with that problem, we are faced with an aging patient population where these aspects are becoming more and more important. The second point, of course, is efficiency. That means that you need to be able to improve patient throughput. This is so far important as there is a worldwide shortage of anesthesiologists, and therefore, if you have a safer drug that requires less supervision and more predictability, you can manage more patients with less staffing. And of course, the patient experience is also important. Patients do not like to recall what happened either in the OR or during procedure, so therefore the amnesia is a very important part of the equation. We have seen dramatic time changes, improvements in back to being normal, achieved in our colonoscopy and trial, and that means there is improved compliance for follow-up screening because of the positive patient experience. There's a higher chance they come back to undergo those very important diagnostic procedures. So we have been reported also by our investigators a very much improved patient satisfaction and compliance as a result of the trials that we have done. So this, of course, in a time where healthcare systems around the world are under a lot of pressure, so cost saving is an important element that we also can show in the overall equation. So in summary, it's better safety, good efficiency, and cost system despite a premium price over current generics, which we want to offer to the healthcare system. I also would like to address a common misunderstanding. Many people believe that remimazolam is just a derivative of midazolam, which it is not. It is a completely first-in-class drug, and it's the first benzodiazepine that has an ultra-short-acting, very short ultra-short-acting time. The IP, we're pretty good covered in most of the relevant markets with the bezalate salt, which is covering the U.S. until 2031. We also have a formulation patent, which is granted in the U.S. until 2033, and we are continuously working on expanding our patent portfolio in order to secure market exclusivity in the major markets. Safety has been shown and efficacy in now more than 2,000 volunteers and patients in clinical trials. The lead indications we already have mentioned. Important to notice that for each of the lead indications, we assume 500 million global peak sales potential. In summary, the results that we have show solid efficacy and safety in the studied patient population. We have repeatedly seen rapid onset and offset of action, appropriate depth of sedation, and what I mentioned before, favorable hemodynamic stability. Now let's focus a couple of minutes on procedural sedation, starting with an overview of the clinical trial program in the U.S. by highlighting the results. What you see on this slide are the three phase three trials that were performed in agreement with the FDA. It consisted of a bronchoscopy trial, the results of which are on the left side, a trial in essentially healthy, mostly healthy patients in undergoing colonoscopy screening, and on the right side, a study which was very much focused on safety only in very sick patients. And what you see at a first glance that the results of the three trials with respect to the primary outcome success of procedure is very comparable between these very distinct patient populations. On the next slide is a reference to the efficiency gain that we have seen compared to midazolam, which in summary means a reduction of the time that patients require supervision by 20 minutes. And that means that there's a significant improvement in the number of patients that can be done by a doctor in a given time period per day. As I've mentioned before, in the U.S., we are currently very much engaged together with our partner, Cosmo, to prepare the filing, which Cosmo has announced will either happen towards the end of this year or in Q1 2019, and we continue to be optimistic that this time frame will not be changed. On general anesthesia, I'd like to highlight and explain a little bit the unmet need in general anesthesia, which is not very much known. The hemodynamic stability is in so far important as by now it has been shown repeatedly that mean arterial pressures below a certain threshold, which is currently estimated to be 70 millimeters mercury, lead to a significant increase of the risk to die within a year. It leads to increased numbers of acute myocardial infarction and also increase of the requirement for hemodialysis. So on the next slide, I'd like to spend a couple of minutes on what really is the improvement that remimazolam will offer. There has not been a lot of innovation in the anesthesia space over the last decades. And as I've mentioned before, the aging population requires different types of drugs in order to be able to treat patients that show an increased comorbidity. If you look at a 70-year-old these days, many of them have either already had a hip operation or undergo their first one. Some of them even get mitral valves, etc. All these are interventions that weren't done in patients at the time when propofol and midazolam were introduced into the market. So anesthesiologists today have to deal with a quite different patient population. In Germany and other markets, more than 50% of the patients are now older than 60 years of age. That by nature includes a higher amount of comorbidity and other diseases that make it important that these patients can be managed without significant hypotension. The awareness about post-operative complication is just emerging. What we now see is that a new phrase has been introduced into the anesthesiology community, IOH, standing for intraoperative hypotension, which usually indicates that there's a problem that needs to be dealt with. And here with remimazolam, we think we can offer a very attractive alternative for patient care in general anesthesia. Based on these findings and these increasing knowledge, we have designed our EU study in general anesthesia. The patient has a total number of 500 patients to be recruited. We started the study in July 2018. It is a multicenter, randomized and active control trial, which will be performed in Germany, France, Italy, Switzerland, the Netherlands, UK, and Belgium. It is essentially a 1-to-3 almost randomization between ramucirumab and propofol. So there will be some 360 patients on ramucirumab and some 130 patients on propofol. And the primary endpoint is, of course, non-inferiority of ramucirumab compared to propofol when it comes to anesthesia, which means no awakening of the patient and no requirement for rescue medication during the anesthesia. And because of what I've explained before, because hemodynamic stability is becoming a new important focus in anesthesia, the key secondary objective is to show improved hemodynamic stability compared to propofol, as we have seen in previous study. We expect to complete the patient recruitment in 2019, and we assume that based on the interactions with the EMA in our scientific advice, that this one study in Europe, including the Japanese package, should be sufficient to get market approval in Europe. And because there is not a lot of innovation, we see ramucirumab is a chance for PIONE to use it as a tool to integrate forward. And the next slide is a description of the improved hemodynamic stability that we have seen in the phase 2b3 trial in Japan. And what you see is that that while 70% of propofol patients have a mean arterial pressure below 60 millimeters mercury, this number is significantly reduced in the ramucirumab patients, which is an overall reduction of 41%, which everyone thinks is very impressive. And this is associated also with a reduced use of vasopressors, which are also known to contribute to compromising specifically critical tissues in the human body. In addition, we have seen two deep sedation in a lot of the propofol patients, and also here it looks like ramucirumab could offer a benefit because two deep sedation is something that should be avoided. Now, how does this market look that we are addressing in Europe? There are around 29 million patients per year that undergo surgical general anesthesia. And we are focusing on the hospital because not so many patients as compared, for example, to the U.S. in Europe are being operated on in an outpatient facility. On the next slide, you see how we segment this market. Of the 28 million general anesthesias that are performed, almost half of this is being performed in high-risk patients, which I already explained at the beginning. These are patients above 60 and patients that have a higher comorbidity, specifically ASA3 and ASA4 patients, which is also part of the design of our phase 3 trial. And some people even talk of the age tsunami, which is approaching in the Western world. And I think for this tsunami, we have offering that is very interesting for the physicians, for the patients, and also for the payers. Now let's talk briefly about ICU sedation. ICU sedation is, of course, something that also is provided in the hospital situation and not in an outpatient clinic. According to our estimates and market research, there are around 14 million ICU patient days requiring ICU sedation in the U.S. and EU combined. So you can assume that for the EU market, this is approximately half of the size and the demand for safer agents such as remimazolam is also important for these patients because, number one, these are definitely very critically ill patients, and secondly, also improved hemodynamic stability is very important. I recall my own time in the hospital where most of these patients essentially got a continuous infusion of adrenaline or other catecholamines, which we hope we can reduce or even prevent. Based on discussions that we have with a group of international renowned anesthesiologists, we believe and share the belief of those key important opinion leaders that ICU potentially has a very attractive market potential. However, we have not invested in this since we have been focusing on procedural sedation and general anesthesia. So in order to address this important part of the potential of remimazolam, additional funds would be required, but it also offers a very interesting potential for co-development with PIONS partners, and this discussion will be more important after initial filings have been successfully deployed. On the next slide, and I don't go too much into details of this as a presentation or the status of where our partners are, essentially it's important to understand that in all the regions that we're covering, we have either ongoing filing activities, ongoing preparations for filings, or ongoing clinical trials, which I think is a great achievement for a company of our size that we are able to represent a global development of a drug. So I'd like to skip the individual presentation of the companies because you can read that and maybe ask questions in the Q&A. I'd rather focus on the outcome of this. I mean, we have already received $34 million in upfront payments and expect $89 million future income from our existing licensing agreements. What I personally find very reassuring and encouraging is that we slowly see the fruits of the number of deals that we have performed since 2011 with, as I said before, ongoing clinical activities or filing activities, which then should unlock at least a significant amount of these outstanding milestones in the near future. That leads me directly to the outlook and vision. So definitely for the end of 2018, filing in Japan and US is very high on the agenda. As I said before, the filing in the US may occur in the first quarter, but both companies are committed to work as hard as possible to still bring it in towards the end of this year. This then will trigger filings in other regions because the dossiers can be used, both the Japanese and the U.S. dossier can be used by partners for filing in their respective territories. And as the phase 3 trial is in the center of our internal development right now, this will be the next major milestone that we want to achieve next year. And that leads me to what, you know, what is the near-term goal? What's the ambition of the company? Right now, the focus is on launching in multiple indications across different regions. And that means as much as possible of the indications to be launched in all regions of the world. The second part, which I already mentioned in the beginning, is the ambition of PION to use remimazolam as a tool to integrate forward, and that will be happening in Europe. And, of course, we understand that we are regarded as a one-product company, which is always a downside because it has certain risks. And, therefore, also we are actively looking at potential portfolio enrichments, and when we have been able to conclude something on this, we will definitely report this. Why forward integration. It has been shown in over the last decade or so that the previous model to develop a compound and then until phase two and then partner to big pharma is no longer working as it used to be. So that was one of the reasons why we have decided to develop it all the way through. But then it also means it gives a chance to integrate forward and become a real specialty pharma company with own sales, which is, I think, bringing a higher return to our shareholders. And it also gives Pion the chance to establish ourselves as a leader in the area of sedation and anesthesia. And there are a lot of products that would fit into this space. We will focus on coming from the perspective, where is our drug being needed and what are the uses of this drug need over their daily work in order to better manage patients. And this is the kind of portfolio that we want to put together. That's the great vision and ambition of Pion. And I would like to close now and hand back to Wolf.
Thank you very much, Wolfgang and Abdel, for this presentation. And now I would like to start the Q&A session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and want to withdraw your question, please press star 2. Please ensure your line remains unmuted locally. You will be prompted when to ask your question. We have some questions coming through, the first of which is from Dennis Holm. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. Firstly, can you talk us through what's behind the reduction in guidance for R&D spend in the current year? I guess I'm wondering, have there been any delays in the general anesthesia phase 3 study?
Yes. So basically what happened is that some parts of the R&D expenses that we were planning for 2018 are just now shifting to 2019. So it's not a saving. It's just that certain things will be incurred later, but there is no delay in the phase 3 study in Europe. So we still expect to complete the patient recruitment in 2019, as we have stated earlier.
Great, that's good news. And secondly, I see with in Korea that there's going to be delay in filing while they establish their manufacturing. Is that something we would expect to see in other territories, or is that something that's going to be unique to Korea?
That's unique to Korea because other than most of our other licensees, Hana Farm wants to produce themselves. And in order to file, they first need to validate their own production, while others can immediately use the dossiers that we are submitting because they will be using the product that has been manufactured and developed by Pion. So that's the major difference. For our partner, Hana Farm, own production is one of their key strategic elements, and that is why there is seemingly a delay, but we have never given a time frame for the Hana Farm filings. So I'm sorry when this came across as this would be a delay, but it's definitely not the case. It's just due to the fact that without establishing and validating their own production, they cannot file.
Yeah, so I just meant there's a delay between getting the phase 3 results and filing, so that's all fair enough. Okay, that's all the questions from me today. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Finan Golsh. You're unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I just have one question, and that is at roughly what stage next year do you expect first royalties from Mundi Pharma and also from Cosmo following the launches in the respective territories?
Well, it's difficult to say whether it's towards the end of next year, because if filing is late this year, then usually with the normal approval time, which is 12 months, then the earliest could be very theoretically towards the end of next year. but launch and approval do not necessarily happen on the same day. So therefore, we do not expect any royalty income in 2020. 2019, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay, not even in Japan.
Well, we have learned that if we give very ambitious timelines, it will haunt us in the end. So we rather say, no, we do not expect it. But if it happens, we all will be very happy.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. We have no further questions from English-speaking participants. So I will now hand you back to Rolf Penner. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for that. And as promised, jetzt der Aufruf an die deutschsprachigen Teilnehmer. Sollten Sie Fragen haben, so können Sie diese selbstverständlich jetzt gerne stellen.
Vielen Dank. Sie haben jetzt die Möglichkeit, Ihre Fragen zu stellen. Bitte drücken Sie hierzu die Tastenkombination Stern 1 auf Ihrer Tastatur. Möchten Sie Ihre Frage wieder zurückziehen, drücken Sie bitte die Tastenkombination Stern 2. Noch einmal zur Erinnerung, falls Sie eine Frage stellen möchten, drücken Sie bitte die Tastenkombination Stern 1 auf Ihrer Telefontastatur. Wir haben keine weiteren Fragen von den deutschsprachigen Teilnehmern und somit übergebe ich das Wort zurück an Ralf Penner für abschließende Worte. Dankeschön.
Ja, vielen herzlichen Dank dafür. Und falls Sie natürlich Fragen haben sollten, so haben Sie auch nach dem Call noch die Möglichkeiten, mich jederzeit anzurufen. For everybody now, I would like to say thank you very much for joining PAION's earnings call on the financial results of the first 9 months of 2018. Of course, we have been able to answer all your questions, but please feel free to give me a call afterwards. If you would like to listen to that call again, please visit our website where the audio recording will be posted later today. For now, I say goodbye and thank you very much for your continued interest in PAION.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your handsets. Hosts, please stay connected.